beer and chips, mate, or fries, as you would call them. That's all there is in Belgium.
Jeez.
Good chocolate there.
No, Belgian chocolate's all right, but I'm going to get you guys on the proper Cadbury when you get over here. Scott will send some back for you.
Yeah. Proper what?
Proper chocolate.
Oh.
I mean, in fairness, I'm not a fan of Hershey's. I think Hershey's is not good.
No, it's really not good.
Yeah, I even went to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and did the tour of the chocolate factory. It's like, I mean,
I bet you did.
I went to Hershey Highway, baby.
There's the cold open.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I am your host, Jason. Today, I am hosting because Jeff is driving around the countryside over in Northern England right now, so he does not have, I don't even know what kind of access he's got over there. We haven't heard from him in a few hours, so
I think
he may be okay. He may have driven off the cliff on the wrong side of the road. Who knows at this point? So hopefully we hear back from him tomorrow.
So you could be hosting. You could be hosting a lot moving forward. Worst case scenario.
Jeff, you better be alive, damn it.
For the UK listeners, Jeff is somewhere in North Wales at the moment, so that may explain why he can't get the internet.
I can confirm he is whale watching.
So the Dome Patrol has officially started our UK trek. Jeff was the first one to go up there before any of us. He got there this morning. Wesley and I will be heading over there next week, so it's crazy to think it's almost here. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about that next week. On this week's show, we kind of give our final thoughts on the Tampa game. Mike Evans got suspended and got upheld. We've had a lot of injuries. The first injury report came out. Today is Wednesday, so there is a lot to discuss, and then we'll go ahead and do pick-ems, and then we'll move forward to the game in Carolina, which is now a massive, massive game. So we've got Wesley and James here. Guys, you doing okay? Getting ready for next week?
Fantastic.
All good here.
Yeah.
Seems like we're having like 33-hour days right now. I'm ready to leave town in less than a week.
So it is crazy. Like, I know, Jeff landed, I guess, at midnight our time.
Yeah, about that.
And I had my phone on for a while, and of course, the text started flowing. At some point, I put it on silent, but I woke up like four or five times last night, even after putting on silent. For whatever reason, I couldn't sleep. I don't know what the deal was. Y'all must have put some kind of hex on it. And then when I wake up, I see 78 messages. So I don't know what the hell y'all did.
And all of those were Ben and me explaining to Jeff how to use the underground system in London.
Surprisingly, Jeff did okay.
Just about.
So, all right. So with that out of the way, yeah, we will get back and kind of give some of our final thoughts on Tampa. The instant reactions, it's always kind of how we feel in the moment. And of course, I had a decent amount to drink at the game, even back home. So, not always.
And a lot to eat too.
I mean, I was hungry. I hadn't eaten since breakfast. So, plus whenever I could throw in a fried fish joke somewhere, I'm going to do it. So, the loss still stings. As I've kind of looked at it, thought about it, questions kind of arise. How, obviously Jameis playing with the injury. How hurt is he? Am I now starting to question, can Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael coach this team? I remember when we hired these guys, like I just brought up, I hope it works out. Is it a smart thing to just kind of bring everybody back? Who knows? And you know, I may have some questions here and there, but then I also have to look at it and say, look, stop. It's only 2 weeks into a 17-game season. So it's still incredibly early to make any super rash judgments. I know there's a lot of people who are, they were kind of ready to be out on Jameis to begin with, and now they're just fully out.
They've never been in on Jameis, to be fair.
And look, he played poorly. He played incredibly poorly. He owned up to it, but he played poorly. So I just, you know, I guess the big question is it just Jameis? Is coaching involved? Is a little bit of everything? I mean, what do you guys think?
I think that, first of all, the second game of the season, basically everything's a drastic overreaction. And that's what we do. Putting some things in perspective, I think, is important. So, we mentioned multiple times that Jameis didn't play much in the preseason. So he might be still kind of like, you know, figuring out some things that he wants to do. He did play a great quarter against the Falcons, and then the rest of it's been a struggle. This game against Tampa is one of the best teams in the NFC. As much as we hate that, they have a great defense, and their quarterback is the greatest quarterback of all time. He is. We played without our best player. We played without the defensive player that was the star of camp. Adebo hasn't played a down this year, and he was the star of camp all the way across the board. Pretty much everybody agreed. Like, he was amazing. And for 3.5 quarters, we played a 3-3 game that, from everything we've heard, is exactly what the coaches said we were going to do. Yep. Last year, we played this game against Tampa. We won 9-0. This game, it was the exact same game, except the opposite. Brady got under the pressure and started making all the mistakes at the end of the game. And let me tell you, there was nobody that's a fan of Tampa Bay that was saying that their backup quarterback needed to start the next game and that Tom Brady should have been benched with 10 minutes left or anything like that. These games happen. They've happened to the best players of all time. We've watched them. The last time Drew Brees played Tampa Bay, he did this in the fourth quarter and threw 3 interceptions. So anything that we do is a drastic overreaction. Now, we can overreact the other way and say that, I mean, do we have the best defense in the NFL? And you can go crazy about that. I mean, it's early. And we played a great team that's played together longer than our team. And again, for over 3 quarters, Tom Brady looked worse than Jameis until the last 10 minutes. Neither one was great. I'm not trying to say anything like that, but in a 3-3 game, neither quarterback is playing great for 3 quarters. But I mean, everything that they did, I mean, to us, we did to them for most of it. And then, I mean, there starts being mistakes. And I mean, we can break down a couple of bad penalties and an ejection that shouldn't have happened and all that, but none of that really matters. For 3 quarters, this was a 3-3 game against one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, there's a reason to be encouraged that, and everything we've heard since is that was really the game plan until we started turning the ball over.
Until we coughed it up, yeah.
I mean, on every single time we drove the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm less concerned now than I was immediately after the game, having watched it back. You know, there were things we wanted to see improved from week 1. Now, I was a bit harsh on the offensive line in the instant reaction. They were much improved. I know Jameis still got sacked 4 times or 5 times, whatever it was, but there was a serious improvement in the offensive line. And, like, you know, we made the point, I think, Wesley, you made the point, that Tampa Bay front 7 is probably one of the better ones we're going to come up against this season. So there was serious improvement. You know, I've even seen clips of Ruiz actually blocking people this week. I mean, he took Vita Vea on one-on-one on quite a few occasions and actually won, which is encouraging to see. The pass rush, everybody was, oh no, yeah, we didn't hit Brady, blah, blah, blah. He was getting the ball out really, really, really quickly. There was at least 3 plays where we had them at 3rd and long. He got the ball, turned to his right, threw it into the screen or threw it into the flat and said, I'm going to survive for the next set of downs that we're going to get because I don't want to take my chances on getting hit by one of these. So, you know, again, like the Falcons game, the pass rush wasn't really going to be getting a lot of success, I don't think, when Brady's getting the ball out that quickly.
And I mean, the simple thing is, anybody griping about the pass rush and what our defense was doing is just insane because Tom Brady through 3 quarters scored 3 points. He scored 3 points and didn't do anything. I mean, would you rather have four sacks through three quarters, but you give up 14 points, or have one sack or no sacks, and you gave up 3 points. Our defense worked. It may not work the way the fans wanted, so we don't have a flashy stat of, you know, Davenport had three sacks. I don't care if Davenport ever has a sack if our defense gives up 200 yards a game. I mean, like we need to look for the priority there. And it's a weird thing to gripe about anything on the defensive side of the ball. It's incredibly strange.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. The defense did its job this week and did it really, really, really well.
I mean, again, there's a pick six in there. Like, even if we go in through the touchdown that they got, whether they got help down the field by referees or not, their offense scored 13 points. I'm taking that. I mean, I think all of us, if we would have said going into this game, Tampa's going to score 13 on offense, are you good with that? 100% of us are like, absolutely. Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's definitely not the defense's fault. It's just everybody's like, oh, what happened to our, you know, this great defensive line? And this, you know, everybody wants sacks. But, you know, like Nick pointed out, I mean, that's what Brady does. That's Breeze was so good at it, too. These guys, especially when he's older and he don't want to get hit, they get the ball out. I mean, these guys have done it for so long.
Brady, you know, did what Breeze did for years.
Well, it's a funny thing that Nick Underhill talked about is that Drew Brees was always talked about playing behind some of the best offensive lines in football. I think that we can probably question that, because let me just tell you, Tom Brady played behind a not good offensive line this past week. And if we're just talking about sack numbers, I mean, he got the ball out in 2.2, 2.3 seconds, according to Nick. Well, Brees did that for his entire career. So maybe we had a great offensive line. But maybe we just had the quarterback that had a great trigger and got rid of the ball really quick, and red defense is really good. I mean, and it's probably a combination of the two, not one or the other, but there's something to that. Having said that, the defense worked. He was getting rid of the ball too quick. He clearly wasn't doing well getting rid of the ball that quick. He should have held on to it a little bit longer, but then he probably gets sacked four or five times. I mean,
yeah. Not many teams are going to get sacks when the opposition quarterback is throwing it out in 2.2 seconds. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So it's definitely not the defense's fault. So then you look over to offense and man, a lot. Look, obviously Jameis played poor. He is taking a lot of sacks. What the reason is for it? Look, some of it's offensive line, some of it's not getting rid of the ball. But to me, I don't know. To me, there were a couple of massive plays in this game. Obviously, you had the bullshit penalty on defense when we had held them on third down. You had the 12 men on the field on the punt. But really the biggest one was the Ingram fumble, man. And it was similar to the Jared Cook fumble when we're driving to go to take the lead. And it's like, man, we could have all the momentum. Now Brady's going to get a little desperate. And then, hey, then maybe you can get a few sacks. But that fumble was just so crucial. And it sucked because we ran incredibly well in this game.
Changed the entire momentum of the game.
Yeah. Changed everything. So, yeah, that's where you need to go and look at it. And, you know, we took some deep shots. We took some chances. It didn't work out. A couple of the throws were awful. A couple of them were just 50-50 balls. But, yeah, that Ingram fumble was just, to me, that's the game changer. That was the play of the game.
Yeah. For me, too.
I think that – oh, go ahead.
No, go on. You go.
Well, I think that, I mean, as well as we could have stayed patient. We didn't stay completely patient. We kept trying to push the ball down the field. But as much as we stayed patient and within our offense beyond that, I think that fumble, like, got they and them driving back down the field, got us everybody getting a little anxious. And, you know, obviously, and Jameis admitted everybody else ran good routes. He doesn't regret any of the throws to Olave because Olave did his job and got open enough to catch a ball. And Jameis owned it, saying, like, I can throw the ball better to him. And then said Juwan Johnson ran the right route. And what's great is him saying Juwan Johnson ran the right route. And I had another guy open that I should have thrown the ball to. And then on the Landry interception, there was another guy right in the middle of the field, wide open. I mean, he's owning it. He's not blaming anything else. Now, at some point, and since the start of Jameis last year here, he has said the right thing 100% of the time. Like, he has the right answers. We've got to start seeing those. I can't have all the right answers in the post game press conference after we lose a game. Mm-hmm. We do need to see that on the field. And I mean, I'd rather him have the right answers. Listen, we're going to lose. I think that we're a 1-1 team. That makes sense. We've played, you know, 7 bad quarters of football, and to be 1-1, I think Mike Triplett said it, that this team with a couple of plays can be 2-0 or 0-2.
Yep.
But we deserve to be 1-1. And, you know, we played a terrible team and we played one of the best teams in football. And regardless of how we got there, and like, we can break down every play, we're 1-1.
Yeah. But come on, it's all about having the rage. It's all about being mad. It's all about putting your anger out there. That's what we do. Everybody likes to scream and yell, and that's what they want. And yeah, look, it was frustrating to watch. I mean, some of it is too, because, you know, it's not to the level of the Atlanta rivalry, but recently with Brady, it's like, we kind of hate them just because they're little bitches. Like, they're just annoying little bitches. So of course I want to beat them. Of course you want to beat Brady. And in the heat of the moment, yeah, you're going to get mad. But yeah, I mean, it's so early in the season to, but you know, everybody has to get their opinions out right now, because that's what we do these days.
Well, we have a game this week that can right the ship.
Yep, we do.
Or sink the ship. And yeah, so this is now a massive, massive game, because Carolina sucks.
Terrible.
Carolina
dumpster
is a
fire.
Really bad football team. Their coach may not have a job next week. You know, he's going to be posting his resume on Indeed. They are terrible. Their offense is terrible. Their fans hate their coach. You know, their coach is just not good. Their coach is a college coach. So, and in addition to that, the Saints team just has more talent. Saints team is completely more talented than this Carolina team. So, you know, you want to, you know, if they go in and lay an egg here, and it is kind of crazy, because we have not played great in Carolina the last couple of years. I mean, look, last year, week 2, now granted, we were dealing with half of our coaching staff getting COVID, but I mean,
we did beat them at the end of the year.
We did at the end of the year. So they have to go out and they have to win this game. Like, if they lose this game, then I am going to be officially worried.
Oh yeah, you need to be. So Christian McCaffrey in 2 games has 185 all-purpose yards, and Baker Mayfield in 2 full games is completing 53.6% of his passes. He's got a total of 380 yards. He's averaging 190 yards a game. And they've got a rookie left tackle who is a turnstile. Now, again, in week 1, he played against Myles Garrett and Clowney. Like, I mean, so, but he was bad in the preseason, and he's been bad in 2 games. And, you know, Baker is not the guy that responds well to pressure. This is a bad, bad team. This is a perfect week 3 game for us. And it's also an opportunity, but we can't just like beat this team and be happy. Like, we need to actually show some offensive execution on the field versus this team. This is a good team to kind of do it against, I believe.
Yeah, the Panthers might actually be worse than the Falcons, which I didn't think I'd be saying at the start of the year, because the Falcons have played us close and they played the Rams really close this weekend too.
Yeah.
So I agree. Well, we've kind of got to make a statement with this game this weekend.
Well, if we're going to mention that, we have to mention that the Panthers played the Browns and the Giants, who are also not – they're competing for a really high draft pick.
I mean, hey, look, the Giants are 2-0. Even though one of those wins was Carolina, they're still 2-0.
We've got to make a statement this week offensively. I think we've made our statement defensively. But yeah, I think we've really got to go and stamp our authority.
Right. What is the issue? Is it Jameis just holding the ball too long? Is he afraid to make mistakes and then he gets sacked, and then, you know, at the end of this game we just kind of panicked and tried to throw down the field and resulted in more interceptions. You know, he's dealing with this back injury. Are we not, you know, is some of it Carmichael? I mean, there's a lot of questions that I don't know that we have the answers to. But
when we go back and replay the game and we watch the plays, and on these plays, there is a wide receiver wide open with someone on the defense completely ignoring them on pretty much every play that ended up being questionable. I'm not going to blame Carmichael. That means he's scheming a play with players to get the ball there. Now, having said that, we don't know what they're going in saying, like, you're really looking for one route versus another, and then that player that was wide open really wasn't ever in the play call. But there's players open. So I just believe that's Jameis just getting used to these players and what they're doing and then getting the ball out to them. And I think that, honestly, Olave was open on – I mean, he was targeted 13 times and was probably open on 13 of them. There's a couple of plays there that are one and a half, 2 yards difference on a, 55-yard pass that completely changes the game. So I can't fault Jameis for making those throws. I can fault the execution of – I mean, he needs to get better of hitting him. But missing on those, and then, Olave fumbling one of them being intercepted in the end zone, and Ingram fumbling them. I mean, those three plays definitely, change a close game. But Jameis has to be better. Yes, 100%. I mean, this is – I think people are wide open. Jameis needs to get the ball to those guys, whoever they are.
Do you think this is the complete lack of any real playing time in the preseason other than one series?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it matters.
Yeah. It's just, because if this, if I really hope Jameis can figure it out, because I know everybody's screaming to go to Dalton. Well, he's still fucking Andy Dalton. He may work for a game or two, but at the end of the day, he's still, 30, however you're 30, an old Andy Dalton.
35.
Right. Yeah. He's still an older Andy Dalton. So that's not the answer, despite everybody screaming that it is. It's just not. So
we've seen what Winston can do for one quarter, and that's tantalizing enough for you to believe that he can do it over a more sustained period.
He just has to. I mean, do you think that he can be this guy? I mean, he's got a lot of history that says he's got talent. He's got his ups, but he has his downs. And, his games last year, we thought, we went 14-3. Touchdowns to picks. It's like he figured it out. I mean, maybe he doesn't. Is there anything still with the knee? I mean, look, there were a few plays where I really thought he could have run and got the first down against Tampa, and he didn't. Maybe that's the back. Maybe that's the knee.
I think those are legitimately because, I mean, I definitely believe that's because of the back. I mean, of course, I mean, the knee is possible too. I think that's something that improves each week. And I mean, you definitely come into a game. If we're up by 3 touchdowns, go down and let's punt on 4th and 1. If it's a 3-3 game, like you get that first down.
Yeah.
And there's things about that. And that's now I'm not going to say, well, if your starting quarterback is injured, then that's why the backup needs to play. If he's only injured on when it comes to a rushing play on the outside versus a linebacker. Now, if you just can't execute the throws, then I mean, I think that at this point for the people that hate Jameis to say, well, over the next 2 games, he's going to throw 2 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, and then he's never going to play for the Saints again. I can't call him crazy to say that. I mean, that's not an impossible thing. But I think if somebody says, okay, well, this was against a great defense and we got pressured in the fourth quarter and, made some bad decisions, but over the rest of the season, he's going to play every snap and throw 30 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. I mean, that person's not crazy either. It's now, but like we have to start believing what we see on the field. 7 of 8 quarters haven't been good.
No.
If we go against a depleted, like non-talented Carolina team and play 3 bad quarters and still win, I've got questions.
Yeah.
I mean, even if we win, I've got questions.
Oh man. So
imagine we're talking about Carolina. I mean, it's just a couple of years ago. They're sitting on Christian McCaffrey, who's, I mean, many people thought the best player in football at that exact moment. They signed Teddy Bridgewater, who had just gone 5-0 with the Saints and had been behind Drew Brees, and like maybe he's healthy and going to live up to his first round, talent. And they get Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, and like they're putting together. A lot of people got super excited about what was going to go on with that team and where they could go. And since then, they've just gotten pounded. I mean, that's a quick fall in 3 seasons. Yeah. for a team that's just...
I mean, the ironic thing is Teddy Bridgewater's probably been the best quarterback for them under Matt Rhule as well.
Absolutely insane to me. I mean, absolutely insane by them to grab a quarterback like Teddy, who... Teddy's your quarterback if you have somebody like Christian McCaffrey that you can drop the ball off to. Christian McCaffrey misses a season. They do terrible. Makes sense. And then they blame Teddy for that. And now since getting rid of Teddy, they've overtraded and overpaid for two more people worse than Teddy, but play just like Teddy. I'm sorry. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are bad versions of Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
It makes no sense what they're doing. So, I mean, their GM needs to go too. I mean, I'm not saying I feel bad for Matt Rhule because he's a terrible NFL coach, but he hasn't been put in a good position to have a team. I mean, it's really tough to judge somebody when Christian McCaffrey is touching the ball on 50% of their plays and then misses 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that was smart to take an undersized guy and count on him to touch the ball 45 times a game, that was stupid in the first place. But to judge people on that, I mean, after everybody in the organization bet on that, I mean, it's a loss that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, the head coach just goes to show. I mean, head coaching matters, man. You get the right coach in there, maybe they're looking at a different situation, and now he's probably going to be the first coach fired. I mean, especially at, man, if the Saints go out and really put it on him, jump on him early, you know, get the crowd out of it. The crowd's going to boo. I mean, I saw they do have some of the cheaper tickets of the week. not quite as cheap as the Charger games. You could get a ticket at the Chargers game for $15.
Wow.
But I think, Jesus. Yeah. Wow. There were a handful. Like Arizona was like $20. But I think this game, I think it was like $30-something. You could find a ticket for her. So
my Lord.
I mean, yeah, $36. Yeah. The Chargers was 16, Arizona was 20, Minnesota at home for Detroit 36. Those are your three cheapest of the week. So, wow. You know, you could really get on them early and just dominate like the team you were meant to be, kind of get a little bit of swagger back.
So Matt Rhule's going to be the new Nebraska head coach by the time you get to London, right?
Seems that way.
I don't know why anybody would go there right now either.
Well,
I mean, every game in the NFL we've proven can be a competitive game, but we're setting up of, you know, I mean, a Panthers team that's a complete dumpster fire. The Vikings looked really bad the other night. And I'm not sure that they were actually playing against a great defense. Their offense looked terrible. Now, am I going to be just all in on that? Because I do think Justin Jefferson is a extremely talented player. Newsflash. But I mean, anybody, anytime with him, if Lattimore's shutting him down, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because Dalvin Cook's not going to run on this. I mean, I think our defense, we've proven why we gave up the rushing yards against Atlanta. Fournette got nowhere with us. But you're just going through. You got Panthers, Vikings, who maybe you're good, maybe you're bad. I mean, we're doing the same thing. I'm sure Vikings fans are looking, well, there's a win in London. Right. At least we get to play the Saints. But then you got Seahawks. And then the Bengals, Joe Burrow hasn't looked good. So, I mean, there's some games that can be competitive here. Now, do I think Joe Burrow is probably going to – he might look bad for a couple weeks and then be classic Joe Burrow in the Superdome where he doesn't lose football games. But, I mean, we've got teams that we can definitely be competitive in and teams that aren't playing great that we can right the ship on. I mean, classic basic things. We can't turn over the ball. Can't just give away points. And it also, Jason, you kind of mentioned, I mean, we had a lot of people listed on the injury report today, but let's be clear, all of them were listed as limited and every single person practiced, including Adebo and Kamara. Adebo coming back, cool. I mean, if he comes back looking like the guy that was playing in training camp, I mean, all bets are off on what this defense is.
Yeah.
That's probably going to take him a week or two to kind of be at full speed and maybe. So, I mean, I don't know. Do we see him in 50% of the snaps or have they held him out these extra 2 weeks so that he can come back and just play the whole game? I mean, we'll find out. But there's everybody practiced. there was a bunch of limited people, but everybody's there.
Still, I think that's everybody
was there. Huge thing. Because I still, regardless of what we're doing on the field, I'll put our roster up against anybody. Like our roster, offense and defense, if all of our starters are there, I think we can give anybody some problems.
Yeah.
Just need the execution. So what's your score prediction?
28-13 Saints.
I'll go 29-6 Saints.
I'll go
I'm not giving up a touchdown to Baker Mayfield this week.
I'll go 27-10.
Believable.
I mean, they have to come out with a mentality of just, we're better than you. We're going to beat the shit out of you. I really want to see that from them this week. I really want to see it.
I think we need to see it.
Yeah. I mean, just for our psyches, you know, I kind of made a joke. It's like, oh, we only got 30 days until Pelican season. As long as we waited for football season to finally get here, and I am still excited about the Pelican season, but it's.
Yeah, we need an instant reaction this week where Jason's talking about the Super Bowl again.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the kind of game that we need against Carolina. That's
exactly what we need.
No matter how far-fetched that is, like, this is a game where we should show out.
Yeah.
We need to curb stomp these motherfuckers and just be done with them. They are inferior to us in every way.
Yeah.
Just have to show it. So with that, we will move on to our final main segment. It'll be a little shorter since we got three of us. We will go into pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the show. And how
I don't have the results in front of me since I'm not tracking everybody. The big league, I think Jeff maybe sent them out to us. I think I'm still tied at the top with a 600 winning percentage.
It was tweeted, yeah, so I've got it here. So Jason, you, DeMail Man, and Paul Perrette are all at 600. Big Easy Guy, John, Christian Mino, Drummer, Mark Brennan, Trevor Bruno are at 500. Myself, Jeff, Wesley, Ali Gibbs, Jambalaya Brothers, and Mr. Coach Klein are at 400. Sorry, so is PX Sabre and Tom Ensign. They must have missed a week. Farmer, J.A. Orella, Sans Hobbs are at 300. And then Scott, Ben, Neil, and Wayno are at 200.
I mean, Neil just never fails. I hope you don't gamble.
No. So Ali Gibbs, obviously our defending undisputed champion from last year, actually went 0-5 this week.
Ooh, it can happen to everybody.
It was a bit of a crazy week, though, wasn't it, with some of the scores that we had?
A lot of wild comebacks. I mean, like three crazy comebacks. Tua is throwing six touchdowns. I mean, that was that. Yeah. You know?
I had Jalen Waddle in my sleeper fantasy team, and he got 44 points.
Yeah, there were a lot of big wide receiver performances this week, you know, including Diggs Monday night. We will get into this week's slate. We got a nice little set of games here. We didn't get screwed by Thursday night, which is a really shitty game. I think it's Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
So
our first game, we got the Baltimore Ravens coming off a loss. I mean, they scored 40-something points or 30-something points, and they ended up losing to Miami. They traveled to New England to play a Patriots team that just does not look good at all. Mac Jones, you know, for all the hype that he got last year, this year he's the complete opposite. So this game's in New England. Pats are getting 2.5 at home. This does not happen very often under Belichick.
Didn't they play week one in Miami? Or am I imagining
Baltimore and New England play in Miami? I don't think so.
Sorry, I thought you said Miami. No, ignore me.
New England played Miami in week one. Baltimore played.
Ignore me.
That's all right. So
Baltimore,
I'll go
please.
I'll go first. I'm going to take the Ravens just because.
Lamar Jackson.
I was going to take the Ravens, but if Jason's taking the Ravens.
I mean, I'm only in first place. Pick them.
Lamar Jackson's got an arm injury, apparently. But as I said, I didn't really throw them. No, I'm still going Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Tyler Huntley's not just as good as Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, for what for the way that their team is built. And so, no, I'm taking the Ravens, too.
All right, our next game. This is the matchup of the week. The Buffalo Bills, who look unstoppable at this point. It's crazy how good they look. Put up another 40-something points. Just made it look easy on Monday night. They travel to Miami to play the upstart Dolphins. 2-0 is, you know, everybody who shit on Tua. He had a big game. Hill looks good. Waddle looks good. This game is in South Beach. And this is how good Buffalo is playing. Miami is getting 6.5.
Give me points.
Same here. Jesus, that's ridiculous.
Unless you're playing the best team in the league in Buffalo, give me the Bills. It's just one touchdown. If you think about it, it's just one touchdown.
That's an insane line in Miami. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, give me the points.
I mean, that's essentially a 9-point line because you get three for being right. Home. That's a huge.
Yeah. Hey, the Bills are playing like a juggernaut.
Three, two, right two, and O teams. That's a weird. I mean, that's
All right, our next game. So that was the AFC match of the week. Now we have our NFC match of the week. The Green Bay Packers coming off a win last week. They traveled to Tampa to play a Bucs team who is going to be without. I mean, they had to sign Cole Beasley this week. They're going to be without all their normal receivers. Mike Evans got suspended. And, you know, fuck these little Bucs fans that are complaining and bitching. And, you know, fuck you. All you guys do is bitch at us. Your non-coach was on the fucking sideline. That shouldn't have happened. I mean, but, oh, hey, the NFL, stern warning. The NFL gave him a stern fucking warning, and yet Sean Payton gets suspended for a year. So just get the Tampa fans, get the fuck out of here. The NFL, get the fuck out of here. Tampa in general, I can't wait for the rematch. Like, now I'm actually fired up.
I don't know if you've listened to Underhill's and Triplett's podcast with Sean Payton that came out today. Payton said he's waiting for the Saints to invite him onto the sideline for a game so he can stand there and chirp at players during a game.
Well, you know what game it's going to be, and you know the Bucs fans are going to bitch at us about it.
That would be incredibly hilarious if Payton was on our sideline for the next game against the Bucs.
I could see us being petty like that. It would, you know, be, I'd be all for it. So anyway, this game is in Tampa. The Bucs are favored by 1.5.
I'll take the Packers and the 1.5.
Yeah, I'll go Green Bay too, please.
Wow. Yeah, give me Green Bay. I'm tempted to go Tampa, but give me Green Bay.
I think the lack of receivers, Green Bay have got a pretty good secondary. That's going to be, they're going to have to try and run the ball, and the Packers are pretty good against the run as well, aren't they? So
they are, but it's going to be interesting, you know, with Tampa being good against the run and the Panthers. I mean, the Packers' two biggest weapons are Dillon and Jones. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. It may be another like 6-3 matchup, but it's going to be interesting. All right. Our next game. This is a kind of fun game just based on kind of what happened last week. The Detroit Lions coming off their first win. Everybody's excited.
Ever, right?
Yeah. I'm on Ross St. Brown saving fantasy seasons, including one of mine. They traveled to Minnesota to play Vikings, who had the classic primetime Kirk Cousins game on Monday night. Looked terrible. Hopefully he doesn't completely reverse it, since the game in the States against the Saints next week is going to be a morning game. Hope he didn't turn to Superman. But anyway, so they played Detroit this week. So a lot of people are fired up about Detroit, the post-Hard Knocks bump. This game's in Minnesota. Vikings are favored by 5.5. I just think that's too many points. I think they may still win. I just think that's too many points.
I'm taking the Lions, please.
Yeah, these two teams, the Lions are allowing 442 yards a game, and the Vikings are allowing 433.5 yards a game. now, on the other side of it, just crazy, the Lions are actually gaining 421.5 yards a game. They're rushing for 186 a game is what they're averaging. I'm taking the Lions, and that, again, that's a lot of points. Even straight up, that's just crazy.
I think this might be the first time I've ever taken the Lions in pick'ems.
Oh, I know. I've definitely taken them at some point, I think. Aaron Glenn needs to toughen up his defense a little over there. So now we get our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
And for that, we have the Houston Texans who are going to be, you know, they've been in a lot of these shitty games of the week over the last couple of years. They lost to Denver last week. They traveled to Chicago to play a Bears team that just got destroyed by Green Bay 27-10. So despite getting that win in week one against San Francisco at home in the rain, they fell back to earth against Green Bay last week. This game's in Chicago. Bears are favored by 2.5.
I wasn't sure if you were going to go Bengals Jets for the shitty game of the week. The way that
I really, started.
That would like offend everybody. But like,
I know.
You can make the point. I mean, the Bengals just lost to Cooper Rush of the Cowboys.
Yeah. I definitely thought about it for a second.
I'm actually going to take Houston in this game. I'm predicting like something big from Damian Pierce. I think that he's been getting more and more carries and looking good, and they've committed to him getting more touches in this game. Could see him playing well.
I'm going to take the Bears.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Bears as well. I don't trust Houston on the road. I mean, the Bears aren't great, but I don't know. David Montgomery's been playing okay, so it's going to be a battle of the running backs this game, for sure. All right, so that's your pickems this week. The Ravens at the Patriots. Patriots are getting 2.5 at home. The game of the week, Buffalo at Miami. Miami is getting 6.5 at home. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay favored by 1.5. Detroit at Minnesota. The Vikings favored by 5.5. And Houston at Chicago. Bears are favored by 2.5 at home. So get your pick'ems in. Hopefully Jeff is alive and he can like your picks online. So with that, we will move into any final thoughts.
Hey, random thing I was going to say with the Bears. In two games, your Bears quarterback, Justin Fields, is 15 of 28 for 191 yards.
In two games.
And their leading receiver for the Bears has 3 catches for 57 yards.
That is for sure the shitty game of the week.
And they're 1-1.
Wow.
So wow.
I'm not sure we've made the right pick there, Jason.
Think you're picking the proper shitty game of the week. The Bengals would run through either one of these.
I can't take Houston yet. I just can't.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So, all right. So, with that, any final thoughts?
Yep. I will go first just to remind everybody of the two events that are coming up in London. The Saturday night, October the 1st, the Dome Patrol podcast and New Orleans.football are hosting a Saints fans meetup at the 9th Ward Bar in London, 99 to 101 Farringdon Road, London. Opens at 5:00. Closes when we decide to leave. So, you know, you people that like staying up late, come and join us. We will keep the party going as long as we need to. We have Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett from New Orleans.football attending. Ross Jackson.
And DJ. Got to give DJ credit.
Oh, is DJ coming as well, is he? Cool. Yeah, I didn't realize DJ was coming too. And Ross Jackson as well. Still trying to work on a couple of other people to come along. I'll announce that on Twitter when I know whether they're definitely coming or not.
Is it Drew Brees? Then,
it's no, Drew's busy, I'm afraid.
Is it Deuce McAllister?
Maybe. Not confirming or denying. Drew Brees is too busy selling avocados on Instagram. So,
among other things.
Couldn't come, I'm afraid. And then on Sunday pregame, we've teamed up with the Ultimate Tailgate Party to offer Saints fans a chance to tailgate party right next to the stadium at Tottenham. There isn't a lot around the ground, so this is a perfect place for you to come eat and drink and you know, get together with Saints fans before the game. If you visit the ultimatetailgateparty.net, select the Tottenham stadium, and then when you go to checkout, if you put the code DOMEP25, you will receive a £25 discount. For those of you in the US, what you'll need to do at the checkout is change your URL from US to UK for the code to work. Please come and join us.
Just finding a way to try to screw Americans.
Did you get your £25 discount or not? Yes is the answer to that question.
Apparently I did. Apparently I did. Just two small thoughts for me. It's crazy to think that in a week from today, I'll be over there. I still can't believe it. And then Pelicans Media Day is Monday. So watch out. We are coming.
For seventh place this time, y'all don't want to do the play-in. Y'all just want to earn a playoff spot.
Okay.
Didn't take long.
Hey, look, you know what? It's fine. I like kind of being a little bit of the underdog, but all the reports are Zion's the best shape of his life. We'll see if it's true. But if it is, good luck stopping us. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, good luck. My thought is just about Michael Thomas. I think it's silly how good he looks. Nick put out a thing that he was on pace for 93 catches and 1,122 yards. And that's not even, we're not even been using him the way we should. We haven't been. We got to get the ball more to Michael Thomas. I don't know if we've thrown a slant this year to Michael Thomas. If you go watch the tapes, like he can still run a slant against anybody and get wide open by a couple yards. And Jameis needs to like lean on that crutch. I mean, it doesn't matter with what we're going on and just needing to move the ball down the field. Need to get the ball to Michael Thomas, get in his hands. Let's keep him engaged, get him fired up, and have him start getting double teamed on every single play. It'll open up the field for other players, but Michael Thomas is back. He looks amazing. He looks like he really wants to win, cares about this team. I love seeing him engaged and fired up in the fourth quarter, wanting to mount a comeback. And the ball that he caught for the touchdown in this last game was thrown 237 miles an hour. And he caught someone's hand, someone's arm, and like it was ridiculous. He was double teamed in the way he caught that ball. And both of their arms and hands was insane. And like, he just got to get him the ball. Love Michael Thomas being back and fired up. And he is one of the best players in all of the league.
Yeah, no, I agree. He looks like he hasn't been away.
It's incredible.
Yep. Get all of our playmakers the ball, man. Get all of our playmakers the ball. All right. Well, that's all we have for you today. We want to thank all our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Thanks for following us on Twitter, Facebook. We're going to have a lot of stuff coming out. Obviously, next week, we're all going to be over there. Hopefully we'll have a few, except Scott. Sorry, Scott. Hopefully we'll have a few tweets and videos, and maybe a live podcast, or not live podcast, but maybe some recordings from over there. I think we kind of have to. I know it's crazy. We haven't really talked about it yet.
We're all doing accents, right?
For sure.
So you have to do English accents, and I got to do an American accent, right?
Yeah,
so I was going to work. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm going to go full Cockney. Thanks for finding us out on all your podcast apps, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing. And until next time, say bye-bye, donkeys. Bye-bye, undefeated donkeys.
Goodbye, American donkeys. Hello, British donkeys.
I think they call them donkeys.
Donkeys.com. Not Spanish. Donkeys.
I don't know.
Cockney.com.
I called the earth, but now I'm high.